So we've kind of really tried to turn the page on this one pretty quickly. Already really started our preparation for the ramps. It's going to be a short week here. We want to get on to them as soon as possible. So ramps are projecting. You said yesterday, tough, hard-fought game. It came down to a few plays. Fortunately, we were able to make enough up to win. Good. Any things we can work on? We're going to try to incorporate those into our St. Louis preparation. Make sure that we address it. Like, but at the same time, we got to get on to the ramps. So that's really where we're at. Big challenge for us this week, but excited to be 2-0 in the division and looking forward to the opportunity to play well here on Sunday. We've got the new opponent. We've got to get to know
him. Bill, I wanted to ask you about just the decision in overtime to take the ball. I know you play out those situations a lot. What do you like about the idea of taking the ball in the with this overtime format now?
Well, I think they're like any game decision, it's unique to that game. If that decision were to come up in the future in a different game, maybe it would be the same. But we just felt like in the game yesterday, at that point, that want a sentiment that we had an opportunity to take the ball first. We wanted to do that. It was a touchdown to end the overtime and then the optimal scenario. I think the win conditions were really that significant. More cross than a downfield. And we just felt on the way the game was going. The conditions at the time and so forth. I just felt like that was the best opportunity. But I think you could certainly make an argument for doing something else. How you want to handle it.
So when a guy like Shane Vereen gets limited reps and then is called into service and performs, is it more about what kind of athlete he is, or is it more about how hard he works in practice, I guess?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but it really comes down to everybody on our team being ready to go, period. Ready to go, preparing during the week, getting ready to do their job, and with however many and whatever opportunities present themselves in the game, being able to go out there and do it on any level. That's what every one of our players prepares for. So playing time is not something that a player controls. Opportunity is something they control. They don't call the plays, and they don't know what the defenses are going to be or what the other side of the ball is going to be. So those opportunities aren't always 100% predictable. Sometimes this is the way it's going to work out. That's the worst out of the play. But there are a lot of plays that you just don't know what the opportunities are going to present. The most important thing are those players, every player being mentally and physically prepared to do their job, to handle whatever adjustments have to be made before or after the snap, and to go out there and do it. That's everybody's job. Shane is a good athlete. Shane's worked hard. Smart kid. And he had more opportunities yesterday than he's had since preseason. Like everybody who played yesterday, there was good things to build on. There was good things that could have been better. And we'll just keep going forward, try to work on something and build on. I think everybody's job on the team really may be different. We try to approach it all the same way. We try to have them all approach it the same way. This preparation and performance with whatever we get.
Coach, this is a little bit off topic. It's Seth Wickerson with ESPN. I know you've talked a lot about finding the winning edge, you've called a required reading. I was just curious, when that book came out, what did it mean for you?
I've read a lot of books, but I'm not really, off the top of my head, I'm not familiar with the exact content of that one. I'm saying I haven't read it, or I'm not familiar with it, but I just read it.
Bill, Michael Vega, The Globe here. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the stretch that you've been on here. Now, we talked a little bit about this a week or two ago when you were getting ready to go out to Seattle, just the nature of the travel during this stretch. You've gone out to Seattle. Are you kind of relieved that you had a chance to come back home, play a home game before having to go out to London? And just logistically speaking, to make it easier having been through, you know, a situation like that, having to travel to Europe in the middle of the season and gone through that experience once before?
Well, I think organizationally it probably helps to have been through that. We have an awful lot of players on our team that are with us now that weren't on that trip, so individually I think there isn't a great deal of experience for that. But organizationally, some of the things that we have to plan for, we dealt with the last time, we can learn from, maybe improve. But each year is different, each trip is different, each team is different, so I think the needs of this team are a little different than the needs of the 08, 09,
yeah,
we went out there. So there's some things that are definitely unique to this trip that are a little different. Yeah. But at the same time, there are certainly some things that we can reflect back on and, you know, use in our preparation this time. And of course, it's always good to play at home. It's good to play at home yesterday. We know at the start of the year we're going to have a home game, a road game. So for every home game, there's a road game, and vice versa. It's all going to come out the same in the end. So nothing really we can do about that. We'll take them as they come, like all the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. Best we can with each opportunity. But we really can't worry about it because, you know, it's eight. That's when they come. It's just the schedule. It's under our control.
Do you like going on these types of trips, Phil, to kind of, you know, generate interest for the NFL abroad?
You know, wherever they schedule them, we'll show up and play them. So that's really what it's about for us.
You know, you talked yesterday after the game, I think it was in reference to Devin's play overall, just the secondary doing a good job of keeping the ball in front of them. Is that something that was maybe an added point of emphasis this week? Is that something that you guys are always emphasizing, regardless of the week, that maybe you just did a better job of executing on yesterday?
Well, it's definitely a point of emphasis every week. I mean, there's no defense that's designed to give up 50-yard pass completion or anything like that. That's really the worst thing that can happen defensively is for the offense to get all their yardage or score off one play and not make them drive the ball and execute a number of plays, a third down, a red area, goal line, and all those situations. But if they just get it all in one play, then that's it. So it's always a point of emphasis. Never anything that we want to have happen. We emphasized it last week. We emphasized it every week. But, of course, if we had the big plays, we didn't have to be. It became more probably of a, you know, a battle cry. And I'd say one of the results yesterday of that, you know, we had more opportunities in the red area, and we made a couple defensive stops in the red area. That's good. It's a good way to hold the points down rather than seeing it all go in one play and it'll be a 50-yard touchdown. They've got a drive that gives you a chance to stop them. We did that a couple times. And then came close to blocking one of the field goals. So, you know, just you make your opponent work to get their points, work to get their yardage. That's much better than just handing it to them on one play or one pass interference call. One play that gains a lot of yards. It's a big point of emphasis. But it always is. But last week we probably spent even more time addressing it.
And Bill, on Devin's kickoff return, it looked like, just sort of taking a look over the tape this morning, that it was maybe a return designed to go to the right. When you get a kick that's fielded to the left part of the end zone, you kind of schematically always have outs with like a blocker that's sort of a just-in-case guy creating a lane going to the left, which just sort of looked like Marquise Cole was, which kind of opened up a lane for Devin to make the one cut and then sort of hit it?
Well, I think any time that you... I think that play is pretty... that your description of it is pretty accurate. I think that's right. Any time you catch the ball on one side of the field and the blocking pattern is more to the other side of the field as the runner, you know, starts to move across the field to follow that blocking pattern. If the coverage team sees that same pattern and overcommits to it, that sometimes, you know, there can be a seam created as the runner is heading to that side of the field, and then he's able to, you know, undercut the coverage and just get into the, you know, find that one seam there and hit it and not get to the blocking pattern. Sometimes you're able to seal the coverage and take the blocking pattern the way it's designed, but sometimes those slow defenders play over the top or play across the blocks and create a seam. I think that was pretty much what happened on that play, that Devin was going to the right and the seam opened up. He was able to get through it. Made a good run, good move on the kicker. Was able to find that. But that's, again, fairly common on whether it be a running play or a return that's designed to go to the side, that the defense over pursues it. There's a natural cutback lane there that a good runner can see and know kind of when he can get in and when he can't. And if those defenders hold on the backside, that they don't give up that cutback lane, then hopefully that should give you a better chance to run to where the blocking pattern is designed, because those guys are all, you know, keeping their leverage on the backside.
Take a final question for Coach.
Bill, in your study of the end-of-game play by Rob Ninkovich, is it any more amazing how he was able to come up with that great individual play, obviously sharing his sack with Jermaine Cunningham, but, you know, the strip, the fumble, forced fumble and the fumble recovery all in one play?
Well, it's something that we talk about and work on every week and try to make and talk to the players and their awareness about, not just making the, you know, hitting the quarterback, but having awareness of the ball. And we've seen Rob do that several times already this year. We saw in the Buffalo game. We saw in the Denver game. We saw it in the Jets game. But it's not just sacking the quarterback, but as you go to tackle him, you have an awareness of where the ball is, and as you make the tackle, if you can hit the ball or the pressure on the ball, quarterback, you know, as a quarterback, when you grip the ball, you don't really have it secured like a running back does when he covers the nose of the ball and, you know, has 3 points of contact between his rib cage, his elbow, and the nose of the ball. It's much harder to dislodge when it's there than when it's in the quarterback's hand and throwing grip. You know, Rob has done that on numerous occasions, including last year as well. He's got a good feel for that. And it's just, you know, an instinctive play that, again, we coach and we talk about, but every play like that is different, and it's really the player's awareness, in this case, Rob's awareness, that made it a game-changing play. But not only did he finish the tackle, but he had that awareness of the ball being kind of down to his left side. He was able to knock it out. Once he threw the ball out, then he instinctively rolled over Mark and just came up and recovered it. The heads-up play by Rob, something I said we've worked hard on. Rob's really had several opportunities to do this year, and he's done it well on all of them. As you mentioned, it was, you know, a key play by Jermaine to be able to,
yeah,
you know, come inside there on Moore and get to Sanchez's legs and kind of tie him up so he couldn't move, because I think Sanchez really wasn't able to avoid that hit. And just wasn't, Rob just didn't have quite enough time to, you know, get the ball tucked away before Rob hit him.